Let's pray. Lord God, we come before you now understanding that we need to trust and obey, and grateful that you understand that sometimes that's really hard for us. It's either the trusting or the obeying, Lord. One of them becomes a struggle. But thankfully we know that you are in us and you can help us do what the things that are difficult and that we need to do. So again, Holy Spirit, as we open up the word, show yourself to us in maybe a new and a different way. In your name we pray, amen. So for those who are new or might be new or wondering, I won't be up here forever, I promise. Kind of a stopgap measure. So, Mike, do you have my slide? Did you show it already and I missed it? Have you ever felt like that? Suzanne sent that to me via text yesterday. And I absolutely fell in love with it, so I'm texting Mike last night. Mike, do you think you can get this up? Yeah. I don't know, the Holy Spirit looks a little shady right there, doesn't it? He's kind of laughing at your distress. All right, thanks, that was all for that. I just loved it and I had to share it. It would be wrong to keep that joy to myself. We're going to read this morning from Romans. And the reason for Romans for me in many ways is because I just finished last semester a huge class, 15 weeks that barely scratched the surface. Some scholars have spent 16 to 20 years in the book and are discovering new things every turn. So Romans is one of those books where you just don't go, light reading. Because it's not light in any way, shape, or form. So, last week we talked about the mind of the Spirit. Because we need that. This week, we're going to look a little bit about what is the mind of the Spirit. This is not exhaustive by any means. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 and following. I'm reading from the New American Standard. I know for some that's offensive. I apologize. But I'm kind of a preference thing. It's my preference. Let love be without hypocrisy. Some of your versions will say, let your love be sincere. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind. Haughty is another word for prideful, but we'll get there. But associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. So your brothers and sisters still count because they're a part of that. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Part of me feels like I should be able just to sit down and say, thus says the Lord. But we're going to have a little work to do here. Okay? So, let's go back to verse 9. Love without hypocrisy. Love with sincerity. What does sincere love look like? In my house, that's what sincere love looks like. This is Dink. His real name is Kibbles. Because when Suzanne got him, he was about this big. Thus, Kibbles, he's little, like tiny food. And if I'm upstairs and I'm trying to study, that was Love the Lord Your God with All of Your Mind by J.P. Moreland was a required text for seminary. And so, where I am, he is always. You know, including when you just want to go into the restroom and you push the door but you don't click it. Just checking on your mama, making sure everything's good. We good? Yeah, we're good. Anyway, so sincere love. Can you get anything sweeter than that? No, you can't. It's my boy. But what are those qualities? You know, just that unconditional love. Complete acceptance, no matter how bad you look or how bad your breath is. Always wanting to be with you. It's amazing things that dogs bring to our lives. Now, I know some here, Christy Carner, are cat lovers. But, and I'm sure cats have their moments too. As they're sitting on your keyboard or clawing up your furniture. Just kidding, I'm an animal fan. But that's what I think of when I think of sincere love. Or to love without hypocrisy. But what does hypocrisy mean? Hypocrisy means the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. The practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. Now, here's what's interesting. Most of us will find a hypocrite. We can look around, we can pick one out real easy, can't we? But it's a little harder to see it in ourselves, isn't it? Well, I'm constantly congruent. I'm always consistent. No, I'm not. I'm not. So the love, the term here in the Greek is actually agape love. What is agape love? Agape love is the, how about this for stress? Agape love is the highest form of love. It's the kind of love that God has for us and that hopefully we have for him. That's how we're supposed to love each other. Do you see how this is problematic right from the start? Because I can't do this without that same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead living in me. Abhor what is evil. Abhor means in the Greek here exactly what abhor means. Hate what's evil. But here's what's interesting. Here's how the Greek defines evil. Bad. Wicked. Malicious. My least favorite, slothful. Laziness. Some of your versions will say, laziness. What? Now, this is not saying Jesus says you can't take a nap. Praise be to God. But there is a pattern of behavior called laziness that's actually part of this word evil. Who would have thunk? I mean, Jesus took a day of rest. Rest is important. But how are we managing our time? Suzanne asked me this very question just this weekend. Really, Robin? How are you managing your time? Right? It's toilsome. It's laborious. It's heavy. Because here's the deal, y'all. When I think of evil, I think of atrocities that have been done or, you know, World War II, and just evil, right? When you think of evil, that's what you think of. Somebody who has painstakingly, very deliberately intended to cause harm to someone. Yes, that is evil. But so is being slothful. Man. Because there, I think there's some evil that we may find acceptable. What do you mean? I'm glad you asked. Bad, wicked, malicious. What is to be malicious? What does that mean? To deliberately hurt someone? Okay. Have we ever said anything that we really felt in anger justified to say and then later truly regretted it? One of the advantages of me not being married is that doesn't happen to me often. How are we doing with that at home? Saying things because we need our way or we need to make our point to hurt someone. We call that justifiable. I said it in my anger. Now, this is not accidentally hurting someone. This is intent. In fact, it is without malice if there is no intent. But when you're mad, you're just mad. You're just trying to get through. We need to hate what is evil. Even the evil that we do when we are being malicious to those that we love, or maybe total strangers who are driving ridiculously and cut you off and make you want to say things that Jesus shouldn't hear. Some of you are laughing because you know what I mean. Abhor what is evil. We need to think about, are we hating what is evil enough to turn away from it? Cling to what is good. Cling. Now, where have you heard that word before? Scripturally speaking, cling. Right? That leave and cleave in marriage, you cling to each other. Literally, the Greek translation would be to glue. The word cling is to glue. It's glue. It's like better than Gorilla Glue. Glue. Yeah, man. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Giving preference to one another. Cling to what is good. Sorry, my monitor's not working, so that's why I'm carrying this. We cling to what is good. It's like a glue. Sometimes it's easy to let good go. Frequently I let good go because of my own attitude about something or frankly someone. But we're supposed to hold on to good like it's stuck to us and we to it. It's stuck to us. Being devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. Preference? The word honor there is respect. It's kind of a... Yeah, respect is the best English word. Giving preference to one another in honor, meaning not begrudging it. Now, the only time that I see this as problematic is when we're trying to make a decision or we're waiting in line to get food. Because if we're giving preference to one another, nobody's going to ever get into the line. No, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. No, really, after you. No, you go. Please, Somebody grab a plate and go. Or when we're trying to make a decision, hey, in my household, hey, what do you want for dinner tonight? I don't know. Okay, Suze, what do you want? I don't really care. Okay, it's hard to give preference to one another when nobody has one. So, that's the only time I can see giving preference to people is at the buffet line. Other than that, be kind to one another. Giving preference to one another in brotherly love. Brotherly love, agape love. The kind of love that we have for God and God has for us. I think we're at verse 10 yet? Have I made it down there? Good. Oh, and by the way, my version says devoted in verse 10. And we're going to use that word again, but it has a different meaning in the Greek. Devoted. What do you think it means? And if anybody has grease going on in their head, I personally understand. Hopelessly devoted. Devoted. What does that think? What do you think that means? Say it again. Committed. Committed how? In the kind of affection you would expect to see in a family. This is getting harder every day. Like, I think we just should stop reading now and go home. So that loving each other and giving preference to each other in brotherly love is actually a familial affection. How are we doing with that? As the body of Christ, how are we doing with that? Verse 11. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I need to camp right here for a second. Not lagging behind. Again, the Greek, shrinking back. Being idle. Being idle. So far Paul's talked about slothfulness and idleness. I think Paul's got an issue here that he's trying to make clear to us. But if we don't slow down, we're going to miss it. And why is how we treat each other so important? Number one, because obviously it's important to God. But let me take you back to Rome. Paul is writing Romans pretty close to when he's going to be beheaded by the Roman Emperor Nero, somewhere 63-65 AD. Some scholars will talk about that the church was heavily persecuted. Some will talk that it wasn't as persecuted as others want you to believe. Socially, it was not okay to be a Christian or a follower of the way, which is how Acts talks about those who are in Christ. And it's because Rome was polygamy. They believed in lots of gods. They're polytheists. I knew that seminary word would come. They're polytheists, meaning they had a god for wind, they had a god for rain, they had a god for a good day, a god for a bad day. Hey, is your god good? Because, you know, hey, I'll take that, right? And all of a sudden, here comes the Christian saying, no, we're not going to serve many gods because our God is the God. Oh. So not only did this put those who were in Christ at odds with the Roman government, because the bottom line is the Roman government thought, and the people around them thought, that look, if we have bad luck, it's because you're refusing to worship to this God. Because you won't, because all you're going to worship is your God. Nanny, nanny, boo-boo. And so there was this social pressure on those who are following Christ, because the Romans saw that as putting the entire Roman Empire at risk. So if you have a sword, what are you going to do? You're going to take care of those Christians, right? It's a problem. You're risking the good of the empire. Paul says, love, don't hate. Hate what is evil? What? He's about ready to get his head cut off. Why was it so important how the Christians behaved? Because frankly, that's how the gospel was spread. Gaius was an emperor before Nero, and he went to the priest of his particular favorite cult, and he said to that priest, is there a reason you can't get people motivated the way followers are? Because they clearly have got something going on, and we're not keeping up. Why? Because of how they behaved, how they were taking care of each other, how they took care of their poor, how they took care of the widows. Why is our Christian behavior so important? Because for most of us, that's going to be our testimony. That's going to be how we share the good news. Does that make sense? Do you feel the weight of that on some level? The Church of Jesus Christ is here today. Now, please, Jesus said it would be. So first, let's clear that right up front. But people, the church continued to grow and maintain because people were just Christian to each other. They just loved each other, even those who were not in faith. Tertullian will talk about when the Black Plague or the bubonic plague came through. People were dying in the streets. But it was the Christians. It was those who followed Christ who were caring for those who were Christian and sick, and those who were not Christian and sick. And it was that kindness, even in the midst of potentially losing their own lives, by being helpful. This is why it's important. It's our testimony. For some people, it may be their first introduction to Jesus. I'm not trying to sell you guilt. I'm just trying to be real. I will never forget, I had a friend who was at work, not living a godly life, nor was she in Christ, so that's not a surprise. It's not a shock. She said, can I just come over to your house? I said, sure, what are you going to do? She said, I'm going to bring a blanket and I'm going to sleep on your sofa. I said, oh, okay. Is there a reason for that? Like, you don't have a bed? Right? She goes, Robin, there's something different at your house. Okay, probably a lot of things different in my house. She said, there is a peace that I don't fully understand, and frankly, I can't find in my house. And so I'm not sleeping well at night. So I'll come over, you'll cook dinner, and then I'll take a nap. That's the plan. And that over dinner, I got to explain to her that there's only peace in my house because Jesus is in my house. You can have this at your house too. And then I won't have to cook for you. No, I'm just kidding. But I had the opportunity to explain to her that the reason that she senses that peace is not because of any new Zen thing I've learned. It's because in me dwells the Spirit of the Most High God, the Prince of Peace. That's what you're experiencing. She, to my knowledge, has not accepted Christ, but it was simply the peace in my home that made her want to be there. No, that's Jesus. But it's that peace that opened the door for conversation. How are we behaving? And you know what? I just want to take a second real quick because, man, I'm running out of time. Y'all need to work with me on this. Here's the deal. We not only need to behave well because of others, but beloved, how are we taking care of our own families? How are we taking care of our husbands and wives? Are we giving them preference? No, I'm not suggesting you give your children preference. You are the parent. But man, they're important little people. How are we doing listening to them, hearing their hearts, talking to them about Jesus? Husbands, do you prefer the NFL? Or do you prefer time with your wives? Or your boys? Ladies, is it easier to get with your girls and nag about your man than to have the courage to sit down and say, babe, we have to talk? How are we doing? Because this doesn't just affect our testimony, but how our homes are affects our testimony as well. Man, are we clinging to what is good? Are we willing to let go of HBO? What are you clinging to? And what you're clinging to, is it good? What's clinging to you? Potato chips for me. And yes, I've received several bags of potato chips over the course of last week. For those of you who were not here, I asked a very important question about chips and how they affect my life. So, yeah, I want us to be cognizant. I want us to be aware. How are we living? Do we have the mind of the Spirit? And not just at church events, but at home. We're at Walmart. I got to tell you this funny story about my mom, and then I should probably stop. Read the rest of this passage. It's powerful. We need to weep with those who weep. We need to rejoice with those who rejoice. That seems like a no-brainer. You'd be amazed at how insensitive people can be. Oh, man. I am so sorry that you've just lost a loved one. Coffee? Or, how many of you have ever started crying and going, I'm so sorry, I'm just wrecked. And people look at you and go, yep, you are. We don't want to weep with those who weep. We don't want to be still and say nothing. We need to fix it so we can move on. No, man, we weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. It's a great life lesson. Giving preference to one another. Sorry, Mike, I know I'm jumping all around. So here's my mom. Most of you know my mom. So in New Jersey, we have this farmer's market. It's called Duffield's. And it is the coveted place for sweet corn. So was it Memorial Day or Labor Day? It was one of the major holidays, and we were going to my now deceased brother's home to have a picnic. And mom's like, phew. Susan and I are walking in at the same time. Mom's got bags, and she's like, phew. Like, do you need help with the bags? And Susan and I grab a couple, and she goes, I'm telling you, I about not to got corn. It's like a madhouse in there. I said, what did you do? She goes, I used my elbows, and I got the corn. And I looked at Mom, and I said, where's Jesus in that? And Mom looked at me, and she goes, he's not, but we got corn. Yeah? Yeah. It's kind of how we live. Verse 12. I'm sorry, guys. Just bear with me. Verse 11. Mike, sorry. Not lagging behind. Fervent in spirit. Guess what the Greek word for fervent here? Eventually, all are going to be hearing Alicia Keys. It means hot. It means boiling hot. this girl is on fire. Right? So how are we to be in the Spirit? Most relationships ebb and flow. Right? Sometimes things are pretty intense, other times not so much. What is Paul saying? Being what? Be fervent in the Spirit. Be boiling hot in the Spirit. We should have stopped at verse 2. Verse 12. Devoted. Here's the other word. Devoted in verse 12 is not the same as family affection. Here, the word is to attend. To attend to constantly. Committed. What are we supposed to be committed to? Devoted to? Y'all can say it out loud. Constantly attending to prayer. Is prayer our first thought or our last? Is prayer what follows plan Z when the rest of the plans have failed? Is our first thought? And not because, Jesus, I know I'm supposed to love this person, but I'm about to meet them and I'm not happy about it. So just be with me so that I'm not rude or cocky. Right? Y'all have prayed that. You know you're going to run into somebody that you don't want to run into. No, this is a devotion. This is an attending to constantly in prayer. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with a quick fix prayer, but maybe that prayer should be like, Jesus, forgive me. Not just help me get through this. It's not really, Jesus, help me have the right behavior. Father God, I need the right heart. I need that Spirit boiling up and not mine to deal with this situation. Prayers to change others are really not the most effective all the time. But man, the Holy Spirit loves prayers that say, change me. Change my attitude. Give me the heart that reflects your heart and the words that reflect your words. Beloved, it's easy to spot a hypocrite, except when it's you. Cindy talked about looking in the mirror. That James passage was absolutely perfect. Well, you know, still standing. We do it. We just need to own it. We're a church. We can be honest. We do it. Just be real, because that's where Jesus meets us, in the real place. How are we taking care of each other? How are we holding on to the mind of the Spirit? Not only here as a church, but in our homes and in our communities. We'll all talk about the fact that the world needs Jesus, and then we just hope and pray somebody else presents him much better than us. Let's pray. Father, you are faithful and true to your word. And frankly, Lord, this is a really big task. Holy Spirit, help us examine ourselves. But more importantly, Holy Spirit, help us be honest with ourselves. Understanding that you are with us and that you will help us to hate that which is evil and to love each other sincerely and to be constantly attending to prayer. Amen.